This is the word of God found in Genesis 41, starting with the first verse. Genesis 41, starting with verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. 2 full years. 2 full years since what? To know that, we'd have to look back in chapter 40. Joseph had been blessed by God while he was in prison to interpret the dream of Pharaoh's chief butler and Pharaoh's chief baker. And the interpretation of the dream came true. And he had interpreted that the butler's dream would mean that in 3 days the butler would be restored into Pharaoh's service in his former position. And Joseph asked the butler to remember to speak to Pharaoh about him, because he was innocent and he was imprisoned unjustly, and the butler was supposed to put a good word in for him. And in 3 days, the interpretation of the dream came true just as Joseph had interpreted. The butler was restored into the presence of Pharaoh, and the last verse of chapter 40 says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." He forgot about Joseph for 2 full years. And so Joseph remained in prison. And if you're wondering about the timeline of Joseph's life, the Bible gives some pretty clear milestones for us to know about. When we first began to read about Joseph as an adult, it was in Genesis 37. And it mentioned that Joseph was 17 years old. Later in this chapter, as you've read, that Joseph appears before Pharaoh at 30 years old. So it's been 13 years from the beginning of his story there in Genesis 37. 13 years from 17 years old to 30 years old. So for 13 years... Joseph, for most of 13 years anyway, Joseph has been a slave and he's been a prisoner. And it was 2 years prior to being 30 that he foretold these dreams. So he was 28 years old when he foretold the dreams or interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. And we read about that last week, Genesis 39 and 40, how Joseph, being sold into slavery, did the best he could to be a good servant unto his master. And it said the Lord was with him. And when he was falsely accused by his master's wife, he was thrown into prison. And there he tried to be the best prisoner he could and gain much responsibility. And the scripture tells us that the Lord was with him. You know, we can read the scripture as it's given in Genesis 40 and 41, and we can make light of Joseph's situation. Well, he was a slave, but he was a prosperous one, a respected one, made his master's house to prosper, and he did well. And even in the prison, when he went to prison, he gained responsibility, he did well. You and I can minimize what he went through without really trying to put ourselves in the shoes of someone who went from a beloved son to a hated brother, to a sold person, to a slave, to a falsely accused slave, to a prisoner, to a forgotten prisoner. And it's easy for me, anyway, to read over that and think, well, okay, that's what happened. But the Holy Spirit gives us some insight into Joseph's situation over in Psalm 105. A lot of the history of Genesis is given in that psalm. And I want to start in verse 17 of Psalm 105, just to give you the little glimpse of Joseph's situation that the Holy Spirit gave the psalmist to record and set down until 2018. We can look and see what Joseph was going through, or just get a little glimpse into his situation. Let me start with Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them. The them is the children of Israel. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. There Joseph was teaching the senators of Egypt wisdom. Kind of makes you wish that we had somebody like Joseph around today. But when you look at this, the verse that got to me so much was verse 18, speaking of Joseph, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. If you want to know what Joseph's slavery and imprisonment was like, they put his feet in fetters, and he was laid in iron. It makes you wonder how he was so prosperous and cared for the house of Potiphar, the Pharaoh's captain of the guard, and how he was so prosperous in prison and cared for the other prisoners. We think, wow, he must have had a pretty good position there in Potiphar's house and in the prison. No, whose feet they hurt with fetters and whom they laid in irons. Let me tell you who this makes me think of. Makes me think of one who bowed down at the feet of sinners and removed his outer garment and girded himself with a towel and washed the feet of sinners, and then just shortly after that had a nail driven through his feet to pay for the sin of the sinners that he loved. They hurt the feet, sinners hurt the feet of the one who washed the feet of sinners. I hope you can look in the scripture, just the first verse there. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, and stood by the river. And think of those 2 years in which Joseph was forgotten in prison. His feet were hurt with fetters. They laid him in iron. I hope you can look at that and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Just another reminder of his sufferings. They laid the Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. After they took his body down off the cross, they laid his body in the tomb of a Joseph of Arimathea and forgot about him in some ways for 2 full days. But then on the 3rd day, everything changed. And here we have Joseph forgotten about 2 years. Remember, as the Lord Jesus Christ was in the grave, his disciples even forgot what he had told them, that he would be taken of wicked hands and crucified and that he would rise again the 3rd day. They forgot about that. And here the butler forgot about Joseph. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. That's the river Nile, the river that Egypt pretty much depends upon. Verse 2, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. Who can tell me what is a kine? Cows. It's a cow. So Pharaoh's dreaming about cows and about corn. Verse 3, and behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. So he's sleeping and he has a dream of 7 very good, fine cows. And out of the river come up very lean, bad cows. And against their nature, since cows are herbivores, but in his dream, you know, dreams, things happen that don't happen sometime in ordinary day-to-day existence. And in this case, the bad, skinny, lean cows eat up the good cows. And Pharaoh awakes and thinks, what does that dream mean? Out of the river come some cows and eat up. 7 cows eat up 7 other cows. And then he falls back to sleep. Says in verse 5, and he slept and dreamed the 2nd time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Rank means orderly. It's a well-formed ear of corn. Verse 6, and behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. This business of interpreting dreams occurs here in Genesis 40 and Genesis 41. And then it occurs again in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 4, which is, curiously enough, where we happen to be in our Wednesday night studies. But this is a matter where a dream is specially sent of God, and the one who dreams is disturbed by the dream, troubled, needing some explanations as to what's going on in his mind and in his heart, needing some help. And, you know, Pharaoh, just like King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, they're looking for the paid spiritual person to do this. They're looking for some spiritual guidance, and they're looking for it in the wrong places. And I'll have to say, there are many children of God in the world that are in this same situation. They know they need some guidance spiritually. They know they need some help trying to make sense of the struggle within their soul and the challenges in their lives. They know they need some, but they don't know where to ask. They go to the wrong places. Instead of going to the true and living God and His Word, they'll seek after psychics. They'll seek after Ouija boards. They'll seek after crystal balls. They'll seek after hallucinogenic drugs. They will seek all kind of sources that will give them all kind of answers. Whereas what they need to do is seek for God and the Word of God. The Word of God at this time happens to be with a young prisoner in Pharaoh's prison. He was 28 when he helped two of his fellow prisoners. Now he's 30 years old. And all of Pharaoh's magicians and sorcerers and wise men failed to help him. Verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream. He did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. There the butler speaking to Pharaoh, and speaking to him in the third person, calling Pharaoh he. But I want you to notice something. The butler finally remembers him. I do remember my faults this day. It is a fault when we forget people that have helped us and have asked for our help. And so here, the butler finally remembers it and tells what his experience was. And so he tells of how he had dreamed and this Hebrew servant had helped him. And so he's given his experience to Pharaoh. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Sometimes go read Daniel chapter 2. This is the exact same spirit and very similar words that Daniel gives to Nebuchadnezzar when God reveals the interpretation and the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Both of them, Joseph and Daniel, are plain about the help that I'm about to give you doesn't come from me. It comes from God. And brothers and sisters, anybody that claims anything else other than that is not the kind of spiritual help you need. If the preaching of the gospel does you any good, it's because the message came from God, not from any particular preacher or messenger. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people take this to a ditch. They say, well, the preacher's just supposed to stand up in the pulpit, which there wasn't often a pulpit in the days of the early church, just supposed to stand up there, and the Lord just pours it into his head like there was a funnel on top, and out it comes through his mouth. No, brothers and sisters, it doesn't happen that way. As a matter of fact, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not that the Bible needs truth divided from error, but truth divided from truth, because some truths apply to one situation and some truths apply to others. Sometimes the Bible mentions salvation or saving, and it talks about being saved from our sins unto everlasting glory. Sometimes the Bible mentions salvation, it talks about being saved from our guilt and darkness today unto peace and rest tomorrow. And you have to divide, rightly divide, in harmony of the Bible, you have to divide the word of truth. But it's not the case where you get any individual man that's just smart enough or studied enough that he's going to give you what you need at every occasion, because no individual man knows what you need. There's just one that knows the needs of your heart and of your mind, and it's the living God. And it's why so often somebody that's a real preacher of the gospel will study and often feel like he has a message, and a few minutes before that, all of a sudden, change. It'll go away and there'll be something else. Or sometimes the Lord will give a man a message well in advance and he thinks, I don't know who in the world this is for. This doesn't seem applicable to anybody here. And it's because he doesn't know what everybody there is going through. And this is what Joseph is telling to Pharaoh. The interpretation of the dream, what you need, Pharaoh, is not in me. He says it that way. He says, the answer, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What you hear may come out of my mouth, Pharaoh. I'm going to do the best I can to help you. But help for you is not in me. God's the one that gives you peace. And Pharaoh, verse 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kind, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow, and behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Just a quick point. Pharaoh is honest and as accurate as he can be about his experience. You know, some people that go to a doctor or a counselor or a pastor, they go to try to get help and then they play the person that they want help from. It's like going to a doctor and you've really got something you don't want to talk about. So you tell him symptoms and then hope somehow or another that his diagnostics are good enough that he'll be able to help you without you really telling your symptoms. And that happens with us sometimes. Sometimes we can want to seek counsel from somebody and we tell them everything else except our real trouble. But Pharaoh's being honest with Joseph. He said, this is what I dreamed. I'm just going to report what I dreamed, and it's bothering me. And he tells him as much as he can what he remembers of the dream. Verse 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Some things we read in the Bible once. Some things we read in the Bible twice. Do you know why sometimes you read the same thing in the Bible twice? Like what happens in the book of Kings and what happens in the book of Chronicles? It's for emphasis. What do you and I do often if we want somebody to pay particular attention to a word in a paragraph that's written down? What do? We draw two lines under it. We double underline it. It's in there twice. Some things are in the Bible three times. In the book of Jeremiah it says, oh, earth, earth, earth. You read about some events, the events where the angel of the Lord saved the city of Jerusalem in the days the Assyrians attacked while King Hezekiah reigned. That's in there three times. It's in the book of Kings, it's in the book of 2 Chronicles, and it's in the book of the prophecy of Isaiah. You read about it three times. There are some events that are recorded in the Bible at least four times. Can anybody think of one? The crucifixion and the resurrection. That's in there four times. Explicitly recorded. And then the Bible before that and the Bible after that point to those events. Because that is the central dominant event of human history. It's the event that makes human history meaningful. Because the human race would disappear into judgment and destruction completely, and there would have been no point at all in them existing except for a brief time, and then that would be it. But because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens in history and what you and I do to contribute to it has meaning. Because you're talking about a vast number of creatures that are going to live forever because of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here, God has doubled the dream to Pharaoh. And you'll read about doubling throughout the Bible. Psalm 62. God hath spoken once. Yea, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. Remember the verse of Scripture that's so often quoted in Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Cry unto Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So here, Pharaoh has two dreams with one message. There are going to be 7 years of plenteous harvest, richness, plenty of food, more than the nation's going to need, to be followed by 7 years of famine so bad that all the plenty would be forgotten. So Joseph makes an accurate diagnosis. He tells the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream. But now, unbidden, he's going to go beyond the diagnosis. He's going to recommend a treatment. Let's read further. Verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land. and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come up, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. So Joseph recommends these years of plenty, if they're wisely administered, will help you survive the years of famine. Now this is something given by a man who's used to handling other people's property. But moreover, it's by a man whom God has blessed with not only the ability to interpret, but a measure of good wisdom. So he says, store it up, save it so that your people and your country can survive the time of famine. I hope, now our trust is in the Lord. We don't trust in man, we shouldn't. We shouldn't trust in our possessions. But brothers and sisters, we should take note of this kind of advice, even in our own finances. It is a good idea to whatever the Lord blesses you to earn or to receive, that you try to live on less than that, and then put some aside for emergencies. You know, you need to have, it is going to happen. Your car is going to break down. Your washing machine is going to quit. You're going to end up going to the emergency room and having a copay. And in order to handle times like this, you need to set aside some money in a bank where you can handle times of emergency. And if you can set aside a few months of income in case you lose your job, that's a good idea too. This is not for us to be clingy, trusting in money, thinking we can do anything, and that, you know, because we've been so wise, we're just better than other people because we've had more forethought. But the Bible tells us, in order that we not be enslaved to debt, the borrower is servant unto the lender. And it tells us that a wise son gathereth in summer, but a foolish son sleepeth in time of harvest. What does that mean? That a wise son tries to put some aside for the cold weather. But a foolish son, here you come right into autumn when the harvest needs to be gotten in, and you're still doing like the grasshopper. You're fiddling and dancing and sleeping late. And so Joseph shows this kind of wisdom, which is set forth in so much more clarity in the Proverbs and later in the New Testament. So here he gives this recommendation. Verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now this is history. This really happened. This occurred in ancient history in the land of Egypt. And look at the life of Joseph. Again, he was a beloved son, favored son of Jacob. Went to being a hated brother, for his father sent him to his brethren. And from a hated brother, he went to being sold to the Ishmaelites and then sold as a slave to Potiphar. And from a slave of Potiphar, he went to being a falsely accused slave by Potiphar's wife. And so as a consequence, he was thrown in prison. He went from being a falsely accused slave to being a falsely accused prisoner. And then he helped out in prison and helped the chief butler, and the butler forgot him. So he went to being a forgotten prisoner, not for just a little while, Two full years. You see this path down. Beloved son, hated brother, sold property, slave, falsely accused slave, prisoner, forgotten prisoner. And then the ruler of the land of Egypt. What a story. What a history. But it's just a small little picture of what happened to the one who was equal with God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And He went from being the Son of God to being born of a virgin laid in a manger. He went to being the Son of Man. And He went to being a poor son of man. Foxes have their holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And then He went to being despised and rejected of men. And from despised and rejected to being conspired against and finally arrested. And from arrested to tortured and falsely accused. From falsely accused to scourged by the Romans and mocked. And then crucified, and then not only crucified in the light, but the darkness came over the earth, and He went down and He was made to be sin for us. That's hard to even imagine. He was made to be sin for us. That's low. Sin for all those countless millions of God's children. He was made to be sin for them. Not only just part of their sin, but all of their sin. That's low. That's so low. But then He was buried, and on the third day, when He rose again, do you know what He told His beloved ones? He said, "All power is given Me in heaven and in earth." And He stayed with them for 40 days, and then He ascended back to His Father on high, and He sits upon His right hand, and He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Here's the way the book of Philippians described that. Verse 5, in Philippians 2, 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Listen to what happened to Joseph. "And He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, 'Bow the knee.' And He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." Verse 44, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah." That has a name, and if you have a center reference in your Bible, it tells you it means "the man to whom secrets are revealed." "And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." So now we get a description of Joseph's life from the age of 30 to the age of 37. These 13 last years have been tough. Been a slave, been a prisoner, been a forgotten prisoner, whose feet they hurt with fetters, who was laid in iron. Now, he's married to the priest of On, and many times in Genesis and Exodus, priest means not so much a religious position as a social one, like a prince. So he's married to a princess, and he's the ruler over the land of Egypt, and he rides a chariot, and the people of Egypt bow the knee to him, and he goes about ruling to save the people of Egypt. It's his wisdom and the Spirit of God that gives him that wisdom that's caused his appointment to this position. And so he gets married. And now we're going to have a description of his life from the age of 30 to 37. And here's what it is. It's hard work while he's starting his marriage and raising his children. Let's read that. Start in verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Manasseh means forgetting. Ephraim means fruitful. Brothers and sisters, I hope you'll think about this. Is that when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the degree that you can see that He indeed has justified and paid for your sins on the cross, and that He has forgiven you sins that you knew about and were troubling you, and even secret sins that you might not have been able to articulate, He's forgiven you, and He's put your transgressions as far from you as the east is from the west. I hope that you will also be able to forgive others that have hurt you. That doesn't mean you have to trust them. Doesn't mean you even have to spend time with them. It means you acknowledge they have hurt you and done you wrong and that they owe you, but you are not going to collect on that. And by that measure, you can experience some forgetfulness. Now, if you think that Joseph has intellectually forgotten what his brothers did to him and what Potiphar's wife did to him, and what the chief butler did by forgetting him. If you think that intellectually he's forgotten that's happened, it hasn't. He remembers it clearly. But I want you to know emotionally he's forgotten it. He's over it. He hasn't suppressed it. He hasn't worked to surface it. He has overcome it. And that's the point of us forgiving others in the recognition that God has forgiven us. It helps us to not intellectually forget that somebody did it. It helps us to emotionally get over it. And when I mean over it, I don't mean just around it and you just... I mean victory over it. He now has a wife. He's got a little boy. He names his boy Forgetting, Manasseh. And the reason he says, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. I forget those times my feet were hurt and I worked for nothing and how my brothers talked about trying to kill me and sold me as a slave. I am past that. I am triumphant over it. Now here comes little boy number 2, Ephraim. He names him Fruitful. Fruitful. He said, I'm bearing fruit. I'm prospering. My work means something. The things I do means something. And you know, that's what we're supposed to do. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and meekness and gentleness and faith and those temperance, those kind of things. And the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, herein is my Father glorified, if you bear much fruit. What does that mean? Doesn't mean necessarily that you make a lot of money, even though you might. Doesn't necessarily mean that you got big crowds of friends and you're popular, even though you might be. It means that your life is characterized by love and peace and self-control and faith and joy and goodness. You're fruitful. That's what it means. And Joseph is fruitful. Verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Why was there bread in the land of Egypt? God's word to Joseph, Pharaoh acting according to God's word. There was bread there, nowhere else. Why? God's word. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. You know, in times in your life when you feel hungry and you feel weak, then you can come to the one who says, I am the bread of life. Not only does the Lord Jesus Christ give us life without us even accepting it, he just gives it to us. We receive it, we don't accept it. But he gives us sustainment. He gives us nourishment. And he also gives us rest. Part of that rest is a given rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But then the ongoing rest is a found rest. And we need to do some work. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I hope you've experienced the given rest. But I hope you will yoke up with the meek and lowly in heart, the Savior. And I hope that on an ongoing basis, in memory of that given rest, that you will yoke up and day by day find rest, walking side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you.